Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Friday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Thursday, and today, fish extinction. All our native fish are dying, apparently. Nick Smith has that bad news for us shortly. How do we feel about Sharapova back on court? Google Maps and the problems with those. And what is RFID? We'll find out all of this shortly, but first up, leaving mentally unstable prisoners alone.
Over a period of time, people who do wrong, even seriously wrong, are getting treated more and more with kid gloves. This runs alien to any society that I understand and how it functions and what that I want to live in. I don't know about you, but that's how I feel about it. I want to know that people who do wrong, people who are bad and do bad things, are punished accordingly. Like the Afghani we were discussing yesterday, the last few days, should be gone with the wind. We don't want him in this country. But that's yesterday's, if you want. This is today's. Prisons, solitary confinement, and yet another UN report criticising New Zealand. Now, I have no idea why our solitary confinement is, on a per capita basis, four times that of Britain. I don't. Maybe it's a space thing. Maybe they don't have anywhere to put them in Britain, or enough spaces to put them. But punishment for wrongdoing is being weakened inch by inch, step by step, to the point where it's now mile by mile, or K by K, if you want.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you went on to say, bring back the birch. But I felt that I felt like it was heading in that direction. Anyway, I'm pretty liberal about that sort of stuff, so you don't want to listen to me. Meanwhile, all the fish are dying, according to Nick Smith.
39 native fish species were covered in this report. I think 72 were either threatened, 72% rather, either threatened with or at risk of extinction. Yes, you're tackling this issue, I know, but change isn't coming quick enough, is it, Minister?
Oh, look, these are tough long-term issues. If you look at the issue of the freshwater species that are under risk, one of the issues simply is that New Zealand had a very unique range of species. When we introduced things like trout and salmon into our waterways, when we put up stop banks, when we built dams, we've had a major impact on those species. The ones that are the most important to me are those that, you know, likes of whitebait. That's a long New Zealand tradition and an important part of our culture. And that is why we do need to strengthen the measures that we take to ensure that those sorts of species do survive.
How are you going to strengthen those measures?
Well, we've just announced changes to the national policy requirements on regional councils around issues like ecological health of our waterways, likes of requiring stock to be fenced out of streams, tougher rules on nitrates, and other nutrients that impact water quality. And of course, we've been consulting on these tougher requirements about improving the swimmability of our waterways so that we could have 90% of our lakes and rivers up to that sort of water quality by 2040.
We'll get to that swimmability in a moment, but let's talk about those nitrates because they are the biggest problem. In other words, really, it's the runoff from agriculture largely. One suggestion is that the government needs to target a reduction in the cow herd, that intensification is simply too great now in New Zealand. Is that,
that would
a possibility?
Be a very blunt, that would be a blunt and not a sensible response.
So you're basically, you're swapping your cows for your fish there, aren't you? One of my monsters, I think she reckons she's a pescatarian, so she only eats fish and not meat anymore. I'm not quite sure where milk fits into all of that either. It's a confusing world we live in. Who knew that there were that many species of native fish in New Zealand? Fascinating. Right, Maria Sharapova, is Nadine Higgins keen on having her back on court or not?
Just to remind you how we got here, Sharapova tested positive for meldonium, a substance that's used to increase blood flow for patients with angina and heart failure. And because of that function, it also improves exercise capacity. She'd been taking it for about 10 years, for other reasons, though, she said. And this drug isn't approved by the US FDA, so it was prescribed for her by her Russian doctor, even though she'd been living in the States for years, with access to the best medical care money can buy. So to say that it smelt a bit fishy, I reckon, is a massive understatement. But she maintains it was an administrative mistake, and when the Court of Arbitration cut her ban to 15 months, it accepted that she was taking it for medical reasons. So here she is, back on court, a defiant accidental doper. And we all love a good comeback story. And if she does go on to return to the number one spot, albeit in the absence of Serena Williams, it will be an almighty comeback. But I just don't see it as redemption. I do believe in second chances, but you got to fight your way from the back up from the ground, earn your ranking points. You don't get to step on the heads of others who have unblemished records. And if you own up, no, poor me, no, it's not my fault. You've got to own it, apologise for it, and then move on. So in the absence of real contrition, part of me will always think a little less of Maria Sharapova.
I'm sure that was all very sensible. I just couldn't quite concentrate on all of it past the thinking about Sharapova's angina. That makes me 12 years old and very immature, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry to Maria Sharapova. I'm sorry to Nadine Higgins. Sorry, she's been standing in for Rachel Smalley this week. Have you ever tried Google Maps and it's turned out wrong? Let's see if Marcus has.
And I got lost. I got lost while driving. And I used Google Maps on my cell phone. And how annoying is that? Because the first thing Google Maps says is go west. But if you're in a flat city, you've got no idea where's north, south, east, west. You've got no idea where to go. So that needs to be improved. It should say, keep going in the direction you are going. Or something like that. So there you go, I've improved that. I thought that wasn't a bad thing. So there we go, saving lives, saving lives.
You see, he's using the wrong app. You've got to get onto Waze, W-A-Z-E. That's what I use to navigate these days. It's sort of more crowdsourced. So people do say things like, just keep on going that way, or, you know, there's a cop here, look out. Stuff like that. It's better. All the important issues on News Talk ZB, you can count on it. Hey, just while we're on phones, this is all new to me. A caller wanted to know about protecting the information on his RFID bank card. Do you know what RFID stands for? I had to look it up.
Confused, perplexed, lost, befuddled, puzzled, baffled, amused. Just ask Kerry and Mark on the Kerry MacIver and Mark Dye Facebook page, and they'll do their best to answer your questions.
I'm pretty annoyed about the way that RFID is being imposed on the public, but the question is, The protective device that I had, a sort of snap-shut thing with two aluminium covers, had a plastic inset between the two of them. But I'm wondering if, in fact, the fact that the two parts are not bonded electrically together slightly compromises their effectiveness. And I'm just wondering if sometime you might like to talk to somebody at the university in the radio physics department and put their question to them.
We have indeed got the head of Department of Physics at Auckland University, Richard Easter. Thank you so much for joining us and taking time out of your day.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
So I think what Ken was asking in real layman's terms was, do these RFID protectors work?
Do they actually protect you? Oh, I guess the easiest way to tell that, actually, I was thinking about this, is that the little antenna in your card speaks to a little, or is talked to by a little antenna that's embedded in the card reader. And we know that they've got to be pretty close to each other for those two things to work. But if you wanted to test whether or not it was, you know, the protector you had was working, it would be to try and pay a bill, you know, at a store where you're going to use PayWave, and try to do that with your card inside of the thing. And if it works, then you know that you have to throw the thing out. And if it doesn't, then you know that it's protecting your card.
That's really simple and effective.
That's what we call the scientific method.
Aha, but the trouble is, because see, I like to use my phone to PayWave. Did you know that you can do that with some of the flasher phones? You can, but only some. And some of the very new ones, for example, the Huawei P10, the Galaxy S8, they don't work yet. The phone says it does, but when you actually go to pay, the machine doesn't recognise it. See, this is where I'm telling you about problems in my life that don't really affect the general population, but it's frustrating when you get to the supermarket checkout and you've left your wallet in the car because you thought you're going to be able to wave your fancy phone over the thing, and then you've got to leave your shopping there, go back and get your wallet, find your credit. Never mind. I am Glenn Zebby. That has been News Talk ZB for the week. I will see you back here again on Monday.